Well, let's go back to Psalm 119 for a few minutes. And I'll look over the section read. But verse 18 particularly, open my eyes, says the psalmist, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Now, last Sunday evening I began a short theme about Christian growth, growing as Christians. We looked at 2 Peter 3 verse 18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Grow in character, grow in relationship to Jesus. We saw that it's a command, we're meant to grow, we're not just meant to become Christians, we're meant to grow as Christians. And we also saw that because it's a command, it's something we need to take personal responsibility for. In other words, we can't rely on just growing automatically, nor can we rely on other people making us grow by their input to our lives. And I was speaking particularly about my own preaching. You come on Sunday, and I'm saying if that's the only time that you actually interact with God's Word, and if it's the only time that you really do something spiritual in the week, then it's a bit like me just, and remember I had my spoon, my plastic spoon, just like spoon feeding you. Spoon feeding is for babies, and we need to, as we do in the physical sense, grow out of spoon feeding and learn to feed ourselves. We need to feed ourselves at other times than just when we're in church and receiving ministry from the teaching of God's Word and together in fellowship. And we need to take responsibility for that. And there are various aspects of that, but I'm going to think particularly about using the Bible, and we'll think about that this week and next week. And then we'll think about prayer as well. So tonight I'm really asking, well, if I'm going to feed myself, and it's not just going to be something I'm going to rely on the preacher to do on a Sunday for me, but if I'm going to feed myself, what am I trying to do when I read the Bible? Well, the Bible's obviously central to the Christian faith and to Christian belief and practice, but how do I use the Bible? What do I actually do? And we'll look at more at practical issues next week, but I just want to ask really tonight, what attitude should you and I have when we read the Bible? So let's start with imagining that you're reading the Bible not in church on Sunday, but at home. How common is that? Well, I quoted some statistics last week that said even among Bible-believing, evangelical, born-again Christians in Britain, a survey of 1,500 Christians about taken just over a year ago by Evangelical Alliance showed that roughly 50% of Christians read the Bible every day. So the rest don't read it as frequently as that, which is actually quite a shocking statistic, because if we say that the Bible is God's Word, then if we're only confining ourselves to hearing it in church on Sunday, then really we are like babies just being spoon-fed, relying on someone else to spoon it into us, rather than growing to feed ourselves and listening to what it says and interacting with it day by day. So it's something that we should be doing regularly. I mean, it's something that has been in the spiritual DNA of Christians in Scotland for 400 years since the Reformation. The Bible has been cherished by generations of Scottish Christians, and it's been a practice throughout the country in the past to read the Bible every day. And that habit, that daily habit, is, I think, largely been lost. Or it's just been done as a habit. And habits, of course, can lose their way. And we've maybe heard the habit of reading the Bible every day, especially in family worship, as doing the books. And so it's possible to read the Bible just as in the case of doing the books. It's something you do every day. It's just like part of day as much as brushing your teeth or having your breakfast. It's a ritual, it's a habit, but it's done for habit's sake. It's done maybe just so that your conscience will not niggle you for the rest of the day if you haven't done it. It's done because maybe it makes you feel better about yourself. It makes you feel, well, God will have seen me read his book, and I want to keep on his right side. And if it's like that for you, you can tell that. Because if you read the Bible with the attitude, well, it's just a habit, it's something that I know I should do as a Christian, and once I've done it, I feel better for doing it. If that's the attitude, then you'll know that your attitude's like that, because once you've read the Bible, you're done with it for the day. So that what you see is that it was the act of reading it that was the important thing. And once you've read it, that's me, I've done the books. I've read the Bible for the day. Rather than actually interacting with it and feeding on it and getting something that you're going to live by for the day ahead, if you do it in the evening, something that's going to, you know, be part of your life from then on, you're just reading it, closing the book and saying, right, that's that done. It's out of the way now. If you read the Bible like that, then if I were to ask you maybe a few hours later, so what chapter did you read? You might say, oh, let me think. So who were the main characters in the story? Okay. And you'd be struggling maybe because you've really just read the passage, and you know that if you read a passage, you can read it very quickly. Having it read to you takes longer. I'll say more about that next week, but just reading a passage, you can read through it. We're used to reading quite quickly. Many of you I know are probably very fast readers. But if I said, well, what was it about? You might struggle if you're just reading it for the sake of reading it. And if I were to actually ask you, so what did God say to you through his word today? Then you really would struggle. Because the fact is, if you're just reading it so that you can say you read it, you're not really looking for God to speak. You're just looking to say you've read it. Well, at least you did read. It's better than nothing, because God sometimes grabs our attention out of his word even when we're not looking for it. But generally, it's when we're looking for it that it happens. So if you're going to grow as a Christian, you need to get beyond just reading the Bible as a kind of ritual, as something you just do as a Christian, as something that's kind of just a daily habit. You've got to come to the Bible looking for more than that. So if we come to Psalm 119, maybe we can just read a few verses again. Let's go to verse 10, for example. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. And so on. Now, if you happen in the course of your Bible reading to come to this passage of Psalm 119, and your attitude is just right, I've got to read my chapter for the day. Well, you might not read the whole of chapter 119 of the Psalms. It's quite long, so you might split it up. Maybe you read the first three sections here, and then you're done. If you do that, you're going to miss something. You're going to miss the fact that your approach to reading is the opposite pole to the approach of the writer of this psalm. It's in stark contrast to the writer of the psalm. It's possible to read a passage and just totally fail to connect with it. And this is one example. You could be reading this and once you've read it, you're finished. And you haven't actually put your finger on the pulse of this writer at all. And if you're just reading to read and get it done, because that's a good Christian thing to do, is to read the Bible, your attitude and the attitude of this writer to God's word is radically different. And the difference can be summed up in one word. And that word is desire. Desire. This man, in writing this psalm, has desire. But if you just read the Bible just because you feel you ought to, where's the desire in that? See, the writer here is extolling the blessings of a place you may never have visited if you simply just read the Bible as a habit. But it's a wonderful place. Wouldn't you like to visit it? Or if you have maybe visited, wouldn't you like to be there all the time? Let me illustrate. Lachash is a beautiful place. But one thing it doesn't have is a really good beach. So let me take you to Harris for a minute. Let me take you out over the sea to Harris. On a beautiful day like today, let's walk along the strand of Luskintyre Beach. Let's take off our shoes and let's feel the sand and the soles of our feet as we sink lightly into the sand. And let's go down to the sea's edge and paddle. Feel the foam as it comes in off the Atlantic, tickling our feet. Smell the salt air. The colours are so vivid, from the bright yellow white of the sand through the white foam out to the turquoise, the deep blues of the sea, and the sky, a lovely azure with wispy clouds. The gulls swooping and crying and your spirit soaring with them. And it's such a delightful place. Just look at all the shells strewn across the beach and pebbles with wonderful vivid colours. Stoop to pick them up and admire their forms and feel the cares of your life just rolling off you. You would like to be there now, wouldn't you? Yes. Yes. I know one or two folk are thinking you could do even better by going a wee bit further north. But you know what I mean. What a place. It's beautiful. And if you're wanting to be there, just following that description, you know what desire is. I want to be in that place. Well, that's what reading this psalm ought to do for us. And it's just an example. There are many other places that should do the same for us. We read and this man is somewhere wonderful. It's like Luskintyre Beach on a sunny day. It's just a beautiful place that he's in. And he describes it to us so that we may desire it too and want to be there. And so when we read the Bible, we should be desiring to get to the place that this man gets to when he reads from God's word. And what is that place? Well, again, just listen carefully. Let's start with verse 10 again. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. And right down to verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Verse 24, your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. There's two things just to get straight away. First of all, his understanding of God's word is rich, and he uses all kinds of descriptive terms, counsel, decree, statute, truth, word, laws, all sorts of different terms there, commands. But also, the pronouns are so important. Like, your word. So the place that he's at is not just about the statutes, it's not just about the truth, it's not just about the precepts. It's not just about the ink on the page or on the scroll, as it would have been 3,000 years ago whenever Psalm 119 was written. It's God's word, your word, you see. So the important thing to him is that he wants to meet with God when he reads. What he's saying is to God, well, what he's not saying is, Lord, I love the Bible. It's the most important thing in the world to me. No, he's not saying that. The most important reality to him is not the Bible, or in his day, the scrolls of Moses or whatever. The most important thing to him is God. The most important reality is the person of Yahweh, the living God. It's his word. So when he comes to the word, he wants to meet with his Lord. That's what's important. So he's not going to be satisfied with doing the books. He's not going to be satisfied with simply reading and being able to say, well, I read the chapter. It's just not going to do that for him. He needs to meet God when he reads the Bible. And he's got lots of issues. I mean, even in the passage we've read from the Psalm, he speaks about, verse 10, straying, the fear of straying, or sinning, verse 11, right through to verse 22, the scorn and contempt that others have, the slander, they say in verse 23, against him. There's all sorts of issues in his life, and what he's trying to do is to meet those issues by meeting God and hearing God and being strengthened and encouraged by God when he reads the word. He wants that when he reads the word, he will meet with the God who's spoken and breathed out the word. So the place of desire, the place that we should seek to get to when we read the Bible, is a place far more enticing than Luskintyre Beach. It's a place where we meet God, the person of our God, as we read his word. See, the Bible, here's another one under the pulpit here, it's not an end in itself, this book. This is not God. This is God's word, but it's not God. We do not idolize this book. It's not like simply reading this book is enough. It's not just like knowing its stories, knowing the commandments is enough. It's not like even memorizing passages. It's not even like if you were to memorize the whole book. That doesn't in itself mean anything. God didn't give us this book so that we would make this book the end of our spiritual quest. This book is the means, or one of the means, by which we go to God, by which we meet with God. So reading it is not like, it's not like a magic book. It's not like there are magic words in it that will sort of instantly conjure up spiritual growth. There's not any formulae in here that will X, Y, and Z will make me grow as a Christian. It's like you come to the book to hear the God who breathed out the book. And I'll say more about God's inspiration of his word next week again. Just reading it does not make you a better Christian, and just reading it does not make you grow as a Christian. And even reading it more is not necessarily better. Because, I mean, Paul, for example, speaks about those in 2 Timothy who are always learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. So we don't want to be like that. So let me illustrate the Bible in terms of a river. How would I illustrate the Bible in terms of a river? Well, we've certainly seen some strong and powerful rivers in the last few days. Last weekend, the rivers around here were swollen, powerful, spectacular. Is that like the Bible? Well, I was trying to think of, is there, maybe you can help me here. Is there any passage where it says the Bible is a river? I couldn't think of one. I looked through my chain reference Bible as well, and it's got lots of different pictures of the Bible that there are, that the Bible itself uses, but I don't think the river is one, because the Bible is not itself the river. When you hear about the river in Scripture, it's speaking about God and his presence. Now, Jesus is the one from whom the river of life flows. It flows from the throne of God. So what is the Bible? Well, think of it as the riverbed. The riverbed is the route through which the river flows, but the river is God. So simply reading the Bible, just doing it as a habit, is like stumbling along a dry riverbed. That's what it's like. If you just read it as a habit, well, better do it. I learned to read the Bible when I was a kid, and it's something I've always done. It's like stumbling along a dry riverbed. There's no water. And you can't be happy stumbling along a dry riverbed if you're thirsty. And you are thirsty because you want to be in this wonderful place of meeting God, don't you? So you can't be happy with being in a dried up riverbed. You can't be happy just reading the Bible to fulfill a Christian duty. You see, what I'm trying to do here tonight, by God's grace, is to make you dissatisfied with your Bible reading if it's not a way of meeting with God. If it's just a Christian duty, God says, well, try reading Psalm 119 and see if you don't spot that the reader there is not thinking of Bible reading as a Christian duty. In fact, he's thinking about it as stepping into the riverbed when the river's flowing. It's like stepping into the river. It's meeting with God through his word. Now, there are other ways of meeting with God, and I'll say more about prayer particularly next time, in a couple of weeks, all being well, but the Bible is meant to be the means where thirsty people who desire to be in that wonderful place of meeting with God, actually meet with him. So it's not enough just to read and be satisfied, because then you're someone stumbling along a river, a dried up riverbed rather. You come and you pray, Lord, please, I am thirsty for you. Please speak to me. I need to drink from your word. I need to meet with you, Lord, tonight. To use the words of the psalm here, for example, verse 10. I seek you with all my heart. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law, your law. That's how to go. Again, and next time, God willing, we'll look at some practical things about how to do this. But this is the essence. Come to God's word to meet God. Don't just come to fulfill a habit. Come to meet God. If you're not meeting with God, tell God you're not satisfied with reading his word and not meeting him. And seek him as you're reading. And just keep doing it until you get to that place, until you get that you're paddling along the beach of his presence, if you like, until you get to that wonderful place where you're enjoying him in his word. That's what the Bible was given to us for. So that we can actually, through it, meet God. So that we can drink from the river. We know where the river is because we have the Bible. And the Bible tells us where the presence of God is to be found. And the Bible itself is one of those places where God is to be found. So we come to it. But we're not satisfied if all we find is a dried up riverbed, because we're seeking to meet with God. And so we come thirsty and we're not satisfied until we drink. And if you're not drinking when you're reading, tell God and seek him more thoroughly and deeply. The Bible is meant to be the means by which you connect with God, or one means by which you meet with him and have fellowship with him. Don't be satisfied with anything less. Amen. Well, let's bow in prayer for a moment. Let's pray. Lord, it is our great privilege to have your word, and even just have read this short passage. And please, Lord, bring each one of us to that place which the writer of Psalm 119 is describing in that psalm. A place of seeking you with all our hearts and a meeting with you in your word. Please, Lord, come and bring us to the richer places than even the Psalms or the Old Testament, the places where we can actually come into the presence of the risen Jesus, coming to the Gospels, to the Epistles. Lord, help us to read and to feed and to drink and to be nourished. Help us to step into the river. Help us to be refreshed. Help us to drink deeply. Help us to meet you. And in meeting you, finally, to be satisfied. For Jesus' sake, amen.